The views and opinions of the hosts and guests of this program are of their own and not a reflection of Milwaukee Black Media or 101.7 The Truth. Good afternoon, Milwaukee. You're tuned in to the Lunch Break on 101.7 The Truth, where everything is an option on the menu.
And one thing about me, I'm a tough cookie, but I know what I can't do. And I'm not suffering. All right? I fought my whole life. I'm all right.
Excuse me, Cletus. Hop over this, man.
Yeah, I wasn't doing it. So I was like, I'm not paying $1,000 to sleep on somebody's couch.
Grab your lunch, hit send on that email, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
My way of thinking is that the parents do all they can, but once the kids leave out that door, whatever have you, they make their own decisions. I don't care if you're 9 or 99, it's still your decision about the situations that you get involved yourself in.
We talking about taxpaying citizens. Look into their taxes. Look into this. We talking about elected officials doing backdoor deals, and somehow she still want to blame immigrants. That's what we talking about right now. We following the money, and you still want to blame black people and immigrants and welfare and all of these things for policies and backdoor deals that put poor people in worse position.
Now, live from the American Family Insurance Studio at the 3rd Street Market Hall.
Like you said, they want to pad their pockets, but they need a reason to push things through. And I guess the low-hanging fruit is, okay, well, this is a problem, right? Y'all want to fix the problem, and they just hope nobody looks into it like, wait, when did food trucks become an issue?
Here are your hosts, Ray Nitti and maybe Shannon.
Yo, what up? What up? Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. You are now punched in on your lunch break, your favorite 2 hours of the day with your boy Ray Nitti, my co-host maybe Shannon, on your award-winning 101.7 The Truth. DJ Brother Z holding us down with the production and sound. It's Friday. How y'all feeling on this Friday? Shannon, how you feeling?
Man, I'm feeling great. We made it through another week, man.
Almost another month.
I'm just happy it's Friday. The weekend has approached. It's upon us.
It is here. It is here. What you got for the weekend?
Man, I'm getting some rest. That's what's crazy. I just looked at my schedule. I'm actually off this weekend.
Dang, so
I actually got 2 days in a row off. Both, like, all jobs. I don't know what to do. I might just stare at a wall and glitch. I don't know.
No, you ain't going to do that. We going to get active. We got to get active.
Yeah.
833-212-1017. That is the number to dial. 833-212-1017. That is the number to dial. Man, Shannon, tell the people where they can find us, man, before we get into this menu today.
Let's do it. So if you guys want to watch us live in studio and join the chat, our chat be live, the chat be chatting. Go over to YouTube, join the chat, watch us live in studio. We are at 101.7 The Truth on YouTube. If you want to give us a call or a text, you can call us at 833-212-1017. Again, that number is 833-212-1017. You can call us, you can text us. We prefer you call. We want to hear y'all boys. We want to conversate with our cousins, okay? Make sure you also follow your host. We got Ray Nitti at Ray Nitti, RayNitti across all platforms. And myself, maybe Shannon, MayBeShannon across all platforms. And go over to Facebook and follow The Lunch Break on Facebook. We're building a community up right now, okay? Join our community. Hit us up. We live.
We live, man. For sure. Get in the group, man. Go join the group. We got some... You know, we doing some things out of our own means in the group, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We can't.
Use an opinion.
You know what I'm saying? We can't just do it on our own on air because we got, you know, FCC rules we got to abide by. But on Facebook, y'all know it's the wild, wild west over there on the internet. So, you know, we could have a little more fun over there. We could engage more. Want to do some giveaways. I know y'all
Robert
hungry.
Robert Land said, happy Friday, y'all. Mardi Gras said, yes, Friday.
Shouts out to the
right.
chat.
I like it. You see it on the screen.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. I like that, man. So man, get active, man. Right. Join the chat. Man, we got a pretty full menu today. We got a pretty full menu today. Shannon, I know you got an appetizer for us. Bro was crying about his students. On today's menu, we gonna have for the lunch break, we want to talk about the power of motion. All right, we want to talk about movement, mind, and health, and we want to get into some of that because later in the show today we have an interview with AD Corcor, one of the sponsors for Truth Family Fest, coming up. And we want to get into some things that they have going on and what the foundation does and so forth. So we want to talk about that today, just kind of like warming the table. And then, Shannon, we want to give them a little heads up about some local news, right? MMSD is getting ready to award a $700 million contract to a company. And we're going to talk about it because it's kind of controversial. And $700 million is not a small amount of money. And right. I want to know.
I guess I ain't getting awarded the contract. I probably would have knew, huh? Y'all would have knew. I can tell you that. There would have been signs.
Oh, my God. There would have been signs. Man, and also on the menu, man, we want to talk about data centers. I really want to get into data centers and really, really have a real kind of honest conversation about it. I want us to talk about the numbers behind the controversy. I want to hear y'all concerns about data centers as well. And what have you learned and saw and research about data centers? Then we want to talk about the proposed moratorium and what would it actually do, right? Then also, Shannon, we want to talk about some data centers that are already here. I know we had a lot of conversation about what's to come and the dangers of what the future could look like and the pollutions of the environment. But we have some data centers here right now, and just want to give some information on what those data centers are, or at least a couple of them, and just show some numbers behind it, right? Mm-hmm. And then I feel like we should talk to them, Shannon, about, okay, I have this might not be a popular take, Shannon. It might not be a popular take. The views and opinions expressed on this show.
What you finna say, Ray? Oh, you finna have us fired. Come on, this might not be a popular take.
Well, because, you know, data set, like, it's such a polarizing conversation right now, even in politics all across the country. Everybody's talking about data centers, data centers, data centers, data centers, right? So I got to take people might not just be so quick to support. But I just want us to look at a deeper conversation. Why I think human consumption of data in general, we need to have an honest conversation about our human consumption.
Okay.
And why we could be part of the reason that these data centers even exist. So, want to talk about that. And then, Shannon, I want us to get into some of the apps we use every day and what keeps them running.
I wonder what keeps them running. Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, Shannon.
Doing some digging. Okay.
You got any major plan for the weekend? I know you said you want to get some rest.
Not really? Like I said,
but I don't,
I'm going to get some rest.
I felt like she said this a couple times, Zach, and then she was at a pool party getting no rest.
This is what happened. I feel like I know as a human I need rest, but my ADHD don't let me do it. Like, for one day, I'll probably clean up, probably sit down on the couch, and I'll be like, what's going on outside? Let me just call a friend. Oh, well, I'm just gonna do this. And I'm like, okay. And then from there, the story writes itself.
So. And then and then there was no rest.
There's no rest.
And then there was tequila.
And then there was tequila. But I feel like it'd be equally as important to spend time with friends and like actually find time for fun. All this work, I gotta spend the pay. You know what I'm saying? What about you? What about your plans?
Man, I might go to State Fair again.
We went okay, to State Fair. Wait.
What?
Didn't you tell me you wasn't gonna go?
I did, but then I actually got a text.
So you going twice now?
Right,
crazy.
So here it is, right? Please. Hey, chill out. Act like we ain't just seeing people flip flop all through
election. I ain't
gonna
be going to no State Fair.
I had no intentions on going, but I'm a send y'all a screenshot of our family group chat.
But you end up there twice.
Yeah. They sent the text out.
I get there 2 times.
Amanda put the text out. She was like, we're going to State Fair and we're dragging your dad with us.
So, I like Amanda, man. Look, she needs law and order. Look, so, you going to State Fair.
As much as I tried to resist it, I was down there eating corn dogs, corn, funnel cakes with strawberry. I didn't know who I was. I was a whole different person. I was yesterday, I was like, man, I think I want to go to State Fair again.
Very demure.
Had too much fun.
Oh, my God. But don't go anywhere, y'all. We'll be right back on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. This is a lunch break.
Hey. She started dancing and her... had me in a trance.
What up, y'all? What up, what up, what up, what up? Welcome to your favorite 2 hours of the day, the lunch break with Ray Nitty, maybe Shannon, DJ Brother Z holding us down with the production and sound. It is Friday. Yes, it is Friday. I know y'all ready for the weekend. I know Shannon ready for the weekend.
For sure. Thank God. Day off to dilly-dally how I please, man. Like, hopefully it ain't 200 degrees out here. I might go for a walk or something, you know?
Man, I know, right? I need to get more active. I need to get more active. And that's a...
Straight up.
I'm interested for AD Core coming up later today. And we're going to be talking about the power of motion and movement. But Shannon, man, we had an interesting appetizer you sent for the folks today. So we're going to bring that to the table real quick and share with our cousins this appetizer. And I want to know how y'all feel about this. I know how some people feel, but I really want to know how y'all feel about this. 833-212-1017. That's the number to dial. 833-212-1017 as the number to dial. You could text that number as well. All right, what we got, Shannon?
All right, let's get into it. So, imagine being accused of planning a mass shooting targeting Black people at one of the biggest Black cultural festivals in the country.
Damn.
Being arrested with a gun and roughly 200 rounds of ammunition, and then months later, walking out of jail without facing criminal charges. That's what just happened in the case of Christopher Gilliam, a former North Carolina law enforcement officer. Gilliam was arrested in April in Destin, Florida, after his own family reportedly alerted authorities that he had expressed threats about harming Black people. Investigators said that he was allegedly traveling toward New Orleans to carry out a mass shooting at a festival believed to be the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival. Authorities located him using flock camera technology. I'm happy to use. They finally used it for good. When he was arrested, investigators recovered a handgun and approximately 200 rounds of ammunition from his hotel room. Wow. Gilliam was eventually extradited to Louisiana and faced a state terrorism-related charge. But now, there's a major development as a Louisiana grand jury declined to indict him. finding that there wasn't enough evidence to move forward under the state's terrorizing statute. Gilliam was subsequently released, and according to current reporting, he is not facing any additional charges. And this is where I think the conversation gets complicated. A grand jury declining to indict does not mean a jury found him innocent at trial. It means that the prosecutors did not get an indictment on that particular charge. At the same time, authorities have previously described a serious threat a firearm and hundreds of rounds of ammunition. So my question for you guys this morning is, when the law enforcement has enough information to intervene and potentially prevent a mass shooting, but prosecutors later say there isn't enough evidence to bring charges, what should happen next? For those who would have been in that crowd, this isn't just a legal question. It's about whether or not tragedy was prevented and whether our system has the tools to respond before somebody actually pulls the trigger. Mm. Man.
So he tried to kill some black folks. What festival was that? That sounded like Essence Fest. What was this in Louisiana?
The Jazz and Heritage? Yeah, they said it was the Jazz and Heritage Fest that he might have been traveling to, I guess, with correlation to the dates he was traveling and when he got to his hotel and stuff. They said the Jazz and Heritage Fest.
Mm.
Man.
So
imagine that.
He plotted to kill multiple black people.
Mm-hmm. And told his family. His family are the ones that alerted the authorities.
And they caught him.
His own family.
With 200 plus rounds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Guns. In his hotel room.
Yep. He was already ready to roll. Ready to rock and roll.
Basically a terrorist attack.
Yeah.
And they didn't have enough evidence to convict on the charge. Do we know what
indict him? So I don't think they even pressed charges. Basically, that means like he just walks away scot-free, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm interested in like what was the initial charge then? Because I'm trying to figure out what type of charges was you brought up on if you could just. And he was a off-duty or ex-police officer?
It looks like he was an ex-police officer.
Mm.
Yeah, he was an ex-police officer. Former North Carolina law enforcement officer. That makes sense. North Carolina, I heard, is a wild place.
Yeah, NC is, they got their own fair share of lynchings happening out there in North Carolina.
Okay. I'm pretty sure this dude might know exactly who doing it.
Man, that's probably who let him out. But we don't know any of the facts yet. But what we do know is we've seen this time and time again where, you know, people get off or less sentencing or even when they are apprehended in the act, they get treated with so much different energy than our community. It makes me think of the kid, the monster who went into that church, prayed with them folks. What was the name? Dylan? And killed him after.
Yeah.
And then they took him to Burger King.
Yep. They treat them like, oh, they didn't mean it. Like here, I kind of looked over it again. It says what I think they got him on was like terrorizing threats or something like that, because it said after finding there wasn't enough evidence to move forward under the state's terrorizing statute, he was released. So, yeah, that's crazy.
Mm.
For you to be found, like you made these threats.
And then don't we
made your way over like.
So he had a hotel by where the festival was going on to?
Yep.
Yep.
That is wild.
Man, once again, I'm going to say it over and over again. they treat our folks a little bit different.
Way different.
A little bit different.
And then my thing is, I just hate how hard we also are on our own people. It's like we extra hard on our own people, but I think it's mostly out of fear and out of knowing nobody else is going to be gentle with you either, you know, but it's also like, man, we act like everybody is facing the same issues and it's just not the same way for other people.
Right.
What I am happy about in this case, they finally used the flock cameras for something.
Yeah.
God, I've been seeing so many reports about them using them flock cameras to stalk ex-girlfriends and just potential partners. I'm like, what is this? Terrible. What is this used for? What y'all supposed to be using this for at this point? I would have thought that's what they told them to use it for. You like somebody, just find them.
See what type
go
of
get them.
She is.
Right. This is what the flock cameras is for.
I did see that Flock is making some adjustments to their policies on and it should be taking place. It should be taking effect January 1st, 2027, if I'm not mistaken. And what I did see on the news this morning was they are saying that instead of holding data, it's funny. Instead of storing the data for more than, I guess, 90 days, they're considering, or the proposed change is they would store it for 7 days or something like that. So, and then they're working through the ideas of like, okay, what does that look like if the footage is needed for an investigation? So we will definitely monitor the situation a little bit more frequently. So
yeah, that's interesting. I mean, what does it, you know what, never mind. I was gonna say, how does that help the issues that are going on with Flock? They making these updates, but that don't sound like it directly like helps out what's going on with Flock, like people literally abusing the system.
Absolutely.
What they need to have is a flag. If an officer is consistently accessing a certain name, that should be like after five, like, why are you doing this? Or like unauthorized access happening, like it should automatically be a flag. Like they can do all this stuff. Why can't they just?
Or you should have to notify somebody that they're being looked up, like a text message.
Exactly.
Go, hey, your license plate was being tracked on the flock camera. Like, what type, like, you like, that's how you let people feel secure. Like, don't just give people the right to look at me and not inform me.
Right. I do know one of the women that found out she was being looked up. There's like a website, am I being flock.com or something like that. I think that's how she found out.
Oh, so it is a site where you could see how much you've been flocked?
Yep. I got to look up the website, but that's how one of those officers ended up getting in trouble. She looked her name up and was like shocked to see she was like looked up 100-something times. So there's that. But we'll be right back after these messages. Don't go anywhere, guys. We are going to get into the meat and potatoes of it all. You're listening to the award-winning 101.7 The Truth with Ray Nitti and Maybe Shannon.
Don't go anywhere.
I'll be back in the morning. She steady tweaking off wherever you call it. Sweet, sweet. She flocky, flocky on wherever you call it. Yeah. Wish I didn't slip, but I won't leave till the morning.
What up, y'all? Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the award winning 101.7 The Truth. This is the lunch break with Ray Nitti, Maybe Shannon. DJ Brother Z holding us down with the production and sound. It is Friday. Yes, it is Friday. The menu is full today, y'all. The menu is full today. Man, what you want to go to on this menu, Shane? I feel like we could a la carte it today. We don't gotta.
I'm gonna let you pick. I'm gonna let you pick, Ray.
I know I wanted to go
a la carte menu.
Yeah, you feel me?
I feel you.
Let's go to . Do I want some good trouble today, Shannon, for this Friday?
I'm interested. Honestly, I do want to hear who got that $700 million.
Okay, let's go to that. Let's talk to that. Okay. So, MMSD, $700 million contract, right? So, just giving y'all some information about the contract itself. The Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewage District is choosing a new private operator for a 10-year contract worth roughly $55 to $70 million per year. So up to $700 million total over the life of the deal. $700 million total over the life of the deal. And I feel like I've seen this before. If it's $700 million, I'm willing to bet it's another $20 to $50 million somewhere is going to be over that. Companies always find a way to have change orders and raise the cost. But nevertheless, $700 million total over the lifespan of the deal, which is going to be 10 years. So what does it cover? It covers operation and maintenance of the Jones Island and South Shore water waste plants, the deep tunnel system, the Milligranite fertilizer plant, and the regional sewer network serving 1.1 million people across 28 communities. So that's a huge responsibility. Serving 1.1 million people across 28 communities. The current operator, Veolia North America, French-owned running MMSD since 2008. It's competing against Dallas-based Jacobs Solutions. A recommendation is expected from the review committee around August 17th. So this is coming up, with a final commission vote expected in late September. So, I know people is like, okay, what does this mean? It's a lot we could get into, right, about what this means, right? But just for context, I want us to know the state that the country is in. And I think we got a good idea, right, Shannon? Unless you like SpongeBob living in a pineapple under the sea.
For real. Look, SpongeBob even suffering. Wait, look, you know what?
Right. But
everything suffers.
So one of the companies, right, Shannon, has a connection to Palantir. So
okay.
Jacob Solution, one of the two finalists, has documented strategic partnership with Palantir, the data analytics company that has held contracts with ICE since 2011 and is currently building tools like Immigrations OS, a $30 million ICE contract to help track down undocumented people using data pooled across federal agencies.
Wow. Oh, brother.
All right. Moving on. Latino president, Daryl Morin summed up the community concern directly. We are more than concerned to learn that a strategic partnership is in place between the two companies. MMSD owned executive director Kevin Schaefer has pushed back on the alarm, saying MSD bills communities directly, not individuals, doesn't share private information, and that any data an operator would access is public data, not resident level personal data. Jacobs has also told the Journal Sentinel it treats data privacy seriously and only uses client data under strict safeguards for authorized project purposes. So even right there was a contradictory. Did I not hear? So hear me out here. MMSD own director Kevin Schaefer says he pushed back on the alarm, saying MMSD bills communities directly, not individuals. It doesn't share private information, and that any data an operator would access is public data, not resident level personal data. But then Jacob says it told the Journal Sentinel it treats data privacy very seriously and only uses client data under strict safeguard. So it's like, do they not got it or do they got it? Well, moving on. I just, you know, notice the key word in here, data.
Yep.
So I want us to just keep the root word here, data, data centers. Just keep remembering the word data for today. It's data kind of day. So the big picture, Palantir,
data
right?
Day.
Data day. For context, Palantir's ICE relationship isn't new or hidden. It dates to 2011 and has grown at least $248.3 million in total ICE contracts, including a $30 million deal to build Immigration OS, a database explicitly designed to help track down undocumented people using data pulled across multiple federal agencies. And I know people like, they ain't just using that to track down Latinos. They trying to track down Africans. I even saw somebody that's running for, I can't remember what country they were running in, but she made a, ironically enough, an AI generated video for her campaign that had her in a garbage truck that got the arms, and she was just like picking up little black people off the street and throwing them in the back of the trash.
Oh my God, what?
They would be like laying on a bench or something, and then she would just come through with the truck and scoop them up and throw them in the.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh man.
But we'll keep it moving. Palantir's federal footprint is expanding well beyond ICE right now. A reported $244 million Pentagon deal, a $1.3 billion Defense Department contract through 2029 for Project Maven, and reporting that the Trump administration had asked Palantir to help build a centralized database consolidating information across federal agencies. A request that has drawn bipartisan privacy concerns in Congress. Now, none of this means MMSD data specifically would flow to Palantir or ICE. Jacobs and Palantir are separate companies with a business partnership, and MMSD data is described as public infrastructure data, not resident records. But it explains why advocacy groups are treating any corporate tie to Palantir as a red flag worth surfacing before a $700 million public vote. Not after. Yeah. So I actually, you know, I invest in the stock market and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I actually had invested in Palantir. I did. I had put a few dollars into Palantir. And then once I did some research and realized what it was they do, I liquidated all my shares. Because I got immigrant family. And I give a damn about humans. And I see the climate that people have to navigate and deal with and go through. But
nasty word.
I don't know, Shannon. What's how you feel? 700 million. And I got other concerns, man. But I want to know what you think about giving $700 million like that.
And then it's like they plan in our face because they trying to say, oh, it's not directly correlated to ICE. It ain't like the money gonna go straight to them, right? But it's clear that this company has a lot to do with ICE.
Right.
That's wild to me.
Right. And as if they don't. And one thing, I'm always interested in our water system because, you know, Wisconsin got one of the, well, our Lake Michigan, Milwaukee, we have one of the best water systems in the country. People come from all over the world to study our water.
Wow.
To study how our, you know, how we do our thing out here. So, I don't know, man. I think we be negotiating wrong. We be negotiating wrong. I feel like 700 million. Like, why we don't have a partnership with these companies to where revenue flows back to the city, the county, the state, whatever that looks like.
Yeah.
You got OpenAI offering the United States 5% of their company just so they could. Now, obviously, they probably doing that to get certain things rubber stamped and pushed through and whatnot, right? But. Mm-hmm. You have companies that is offering all of these percentages and where it flows back into the state. It flows back into somehow lowering costs for citizens. But don't go anywhere, y'all. We'll be right back after these messages on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth.
Don't go anywhere.
Boys and girls, singing this little part right here. Maybe these words, somebody...
What up, y'all? Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Yes, you were punched in on your lunch break. Your favorite 2 hours of the day. Ray Nitty, maybe Shannon, DJ Brother Z holding us down with the production and sound. How y'all feeling? 833-212-1017. That's the number to dial, man. 833-212-1017. That's the number to dial. So, yeah, man, we just had to give you all, if you're just joining us, on your award-winning 101.7, The Truth. We was just giving y'all a breakdown of something that is about to happen here soon in the city of Milwaukee. $700 million contract to manage our water system will be awarded. It's looking like next week. And some of the companies, well, one of the companies in particular had some questionable ties to a company that has serious ties to ICE. So we was talking about that, man. But before we get any deeper into the menu, speaking of menu, Shannon, what you got on the menu for the folks today?
Well, Ray, Milwaukee, mark your calendars. Join us for the Truth Family Fest on Saturday, August 22nd from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Riverside University High School. It's free and fun for the entire family, featuring great music, community resources, family activities, and back-to-school support to help students get ready for a successful year. Interested in volunteering? Visit the Truth's Family Fest website at truthfamilyfest.com. to complete the volunteer form or by emailing sierra.brown@milwaukeeblackmedia.com. C-I-E-R-R-A, sierra.brown@milwaukeeblackmedia.com. Bring the whole family, experience one of Milwaukee's favorite community celebrations, True Family Fest, Saturday, August 22nd from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Special thanks to Educators Credit Union, American Family Insurance, Milwaukee Public Schools, Artists Working in Education, City of Milwaukee, DCWS, AB Corp Core, Ascension, and Tap In MKE. That's what's on the menu.
Shouts out to the menu, man. The menu be thick. The menu be thick. So.
It's jelly, not jam. No.
My God. Nothing at all. Here we go. Here we go. Let's get back on track here. So yeah, y'all, we talking about this data and what has been going on, and it brought up this conversation that I wanted to have, man. Like, what's fueling these data centers? So I want us to talk about the apps that we use every day and what keeps them running. What you think of that, Shannon?
Let's hear it. I'm gonna guess it's gonna be some disappointed people hearing the apps and we'll see. Keeping them running. Let's go.
We'll see. So every major platform people use daily: Google Search and Gmail, Instagram and Facebook, Meta, Amazon and Amazon Web Service hosted apps, Microsoft, Outlook, Teams, and every AI chatbot runs on exactly this kind of data center infrastructure. Google data centers alone consumed 6.1 billion gallons of water in 2024, up from 4.3 billion in 2021. And company-wide water use hits 10.9 billion gallons in 2025, a 34% year-over-year jump driven specifically by AI deployment, not just infrastructure construction. Meta's data center uses 776 million gallons in 2023 alone, 95% of the company's entire water footprint. Nationally, U.S. data centers use an estimated 264 billion gallons of water in 2025 when counting the electricity generation behind them. And about 40% of U.S. data centers sit in areas already facing high or extreme water stress. By 2028, U.S. data centers could consume at least as much as 12% of the entire nation's electricity, according to Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory.
Who's going to pay them electric bills?
So I want us to think about this, right? Let's go back to these platforms. Google, when you're using your Google search engine, when you using Instagram, Facebook, Amazon shopping,
all things a part of our daily lives right now.
That's data consumption. It's data consumption. So we as humans need to... I'm interested to know how much data did we consume arguing with each other on Facebook about data centers?
That's kind of ironic, though. Dang.
I'm just saying, Shannon. Am I tripping?
It's like, if you care so much about data, just write me a letter about it.
You're going to have to get on the phone. You're going to have to get in the field.
You have to mail me a letter for real. You don't have to go to the post office.
Let's think about it. iPhones, cloud. Cloud don't mean just in the sky. It's data centers that store all these stupid food pictures y'all taking. And then you want to argue with me about data centers online. With 2 terabits worth of food pictures. We keep buying more cloud storage for our iPhones.
That's true.
I mean, they force us to do that. That's not by choice.
We don't have to use it.
You need more.
We don't have to use it. We do got to. If we really upset about data, We have to look at our data consumption. Okay, I'll do you one even better. Netflix. Streaming. Kick. Twitch.
Oh. We streaming right now, huh?
We streaming right now using data. Our consumption is driving. We don't want to hear this. Now, can we have a separate conversation about how companies are finding ways and manipulating people and programming people to stay on platforms even longer to increase data consumption? Absolutely. Because we didn't always have auto reels where it just keep playing endlessly, endlessly, endlessly.
You don't even realize, like, dang, how I get here?
Right. You look up, it's dinner time. You still at work.
I be forgetting. I forget what platform I'm on. I'll be like, wait, am I on, what is this, TikTok or Instagram? How did I get on Facebook?
So
that's how, like, automatic it is.
Yeah. We shopping on Shein, DoorDash, Uber.
Shein got their graphics turning around and making it clap two times now. That's some data right there. Oh, why man. They do that? I'm trying to tell y'all, I was on Shein and I was shopping for a shirt and the mannequin turned around and start making it clap. Not joking. I screen recorded because I thought I was going crazy. They doing all types of stuff over there.
How much data you think that took?
I know it was some data. The mannequin had yams. You know, I'm just playing. But seriously, though, like, it was a lot of work. I'm like, I just wanted to see a picture of the shirt. Could all been so simple, but
man,
that probably took some data.
But don't go anywhere, y'all. We'll be right back after these messages on the award-winning the station 101.7 The Truth.
Don't go anywhere.